I want to sing Love Lifted Me. Love can do some things that nothing else can do. Hallelujah. I was touched with that song from Australia this morning. Wasn't that good? Amen. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise.
Yeah. when nothing, nothing.
Stronger than arguing, fighting, debating. No wonder Jesus said, love your enemies. That's how you defeat them.
Amen.
The best way to win a battle against your enemy is to make a friend out of them. And that is a major victory when it can happen. And it works. It really works. Hallelujah. God's good. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians and a little bit in chapter 5. Paul writes to the church. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. Then I want to go to chapter 5. Amen. And verse 5, we begin. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You may be seated. Amen. And I guess if I had a subject, it would be this: things are not always as they appear. Amen. Things are not always as they appear. I've seen people who had high standards, what they called a standard of holiness, who looked so holy because of the fact of what they called their standard of holiness was apparent just by sight. You just look at them. Everything is just according to the teachings of their group that they're a part of. They're dressing the part, looking the part. And you can just tell when they walk in the door, hey, they're a living example of what they teach that you should look like. But they weren't always as they appeared. Then I've seen others who didn't look the part, had not been so exposed to some of the teachings that maybe some of us were raised with. And just at a glance, just looking at them, you would think they look awful worldly because of the way you've been raised. You know, these folks, they oh my, look at them, you know. And if you allow yourself to look at what you see and judge, I guess that's the wisdom of God that tells us not to judge each other, because it's so easy to misjudge if we go by what we look upon. And it turns out sometimes those that don't look like maybe some of us think they should look, or maybe those that don't dress or do some of the things that maybe we were all of our lives accustomed to, we, since they're not like us, so to speak, us being the ones who have these standards that make us do some things that others don't do, it's easy to tend, if we're not careful, to judge them to not be holy people, or to not have a touch of God in their life, or to maybe be a little inferior. And you know, that should not be. God never determined His love and His compassion and mercy and His goodness. He never made a rule that you had to look a certain way in order to get all of His God. I mean, all that's in God is available for all who want it. And we can't always judge by appearance concerning who's being dealt with from the heart. And God looks on the heart. And we look on the outward appearance. I suppose if Paul, the man that wrote the book of 2 Corinthians, were to walk in our assembly this morning, he would probably be noticed as one who doesn't dress the part or look the part. In fact, there are many churches today that would probably not allow him to ever speak in their pulpits. And if he were to consider being one of their pastors, or maybe if there were a pulpit open and Paul the Apostle would come along and say, "Would you please consider me?" he may be laughed to scorn. I don't know exactly what he looked like, but just based on what I read in the Word of God, I suppose he had a few scars. Probably went around a lot of times with his hair not combed. I don't suppose he always had a crease in his suit. He probably didn't always have a nice silk tie to wear. And he may not have been able to shave every morning or get a haircut every time he needed one. He may not have had all the conveniences of plenty of deodorant in the closet. And I could go on and on, let your mind just go wild on how nasty and ugly he was. But I can promise you that there are a lot of churches, if he would walk in today, would say, "Ew." And there would be those, if he would sit down beside them, would immediately get up and move to another part of the building. And yet we take the books that he wrote and we rejoice. Oh, what a mighty man of God. Because we're not looking at the man, we're looking at the Word. Why can't we do that all the time? If somebody says something in a testimony and you happen to know they're not exactly living right, because maybe it's something you've seen or something you have heard about, something you know about, how about just consider the Word that comes forth and let God deal with the heart? Because things are not always exactly as they appear. Amen. And the Word does teach us that they that compare themselves among themselves, by themselves, are not wise. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What does that mean? That means we're human. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It just simply means we're human. beings that although we're striving for perfection and we're asking God to help us to become exactly what He'd have us to be, many times we find that we do have faults and failures. Amen. In the eyes of God, we can be perfect. But even I know and you know that humanity at its best has its problems. Amen. I'm glad that God doesn't just judge us by our human side. About the way we look, the way I'm telling you, sometimes in the morning when I first wake up, I would prefer to not be judged by how I talk, how I act, how I look. You ever look at yourself in the mirror before you comb your hair in the morning? You ever seen what a mess you can be? Joel Hemphill told me that when he and his wife were courting, about to get married, he said all he ever saw of her was her best. You know, she would be on stage, just fixed up really nice, singing with the Happy Goodman family. Vestal Goodman was her aunt, and she was raised with the Goodman family, and she was always really beautiful. And he just fell in love with her. And he told me that, he said, and even when we started dating, he said, when she would come out that door, it was just like a queen, you know. She was so beautiful. He said, oh, he said, I just love that. I just love that woman, said. And he married her. But he said, on our honeymoon night, the next morning, right after she woke up, he said, I took a look at her. He said, I said, sing, baby, sing. She didn't look the same anymore. Amen. Didn't have quite that flash to her life, and that up on the stage with the lights shining and that spark in her eyes when she comes bouncing out of the house saying, where are we going tonight? It was hair messed up, just a mess, you know. But she was still the same Labriska. That was her name, Labriska Hemphill. And he said, I looked at her that morning, I said, sing, baby, sing. Hallelujah. Things are not always as they appear. Amen. But God is always the same, whether you see Him or not. Amen. And what He does, the effect He has on humanity, it always is something that is beyond doubt. There are people here today that have been changed. Amen. And it has an effect from the heart outward. When God works with the heart, things do change. Amen. I can't see the heart doing the changing, but I can see the result of the heart change. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to serve a God who doesn't judge us by our appearance. Hallelujah. He knows us when we're at our worst, and yet He loves us as though we're at our best. He sees us when we know that we're inadequate and we know that we're failing in some areas. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our faults and our failures. And yet there's never a time that He loves us less than He loves us at other times. Hallelujah. And Paul said something here as I was reading all these words. As I was reading, you might have noticed when I read there, just kind of like in passing, he said, we commend not ourselves again to you, but we give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. So you can have something, you know, we're giving you something here to let you have something to answer those that glory in what people see. Amen. That glory in their appearance and not in heart. Amen. For whether we are beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. There's a lot being said here that's not, you know, all the details are not written out. But this seems to indicate there are times when people just expect you to act a certain way. And he's, in so many words, saying, when we do that, that's for you. But if we seem to be beside ourselves, that's because it's under God. You know, I may be a little goofy acting sometimes, but God loves me. Amen. Some of us may not act like others of us. I mean, we had somebody some time ago visited us, and we were just not sober enough. Just think about the day of Pentecost. They weren't sober enough either. These people are mad. These people are drunk. They're filled with new wine. What's wrong with these folks? Things are not always as they appear. Amen. We, you know, and it bothers me when somebody comes in and we want, you know, a guest. We want to treat them nice. We want to be at our best behavior. We want to impress them. But that particular person several months back came in for a visit, and we were sitting here talking right after I went outside to see if they had arrived, and they were sitting in the car. So I went bouncing up to the car and said, "Hey, good to have you here." And all of a sudden I saw this frown come across the face. Like, "Who are you?" And so I held out my hand, I introduced myself, and there was still this real serious look. And we came down the stairs and we sat down and we started talking. I was just trying to break ice, you know, get conversation started, make friends. So she finally asked a question. "So how did you get this church started?" I said, "Well, I went into a restaurant one day and didn't have any money, and you know, I didn't hardly know anybody in this area, and I was here with my two daughters, and we were broke, we didn't have any money, and I said, I didn't know what to do, and I had heard this joke about a bulldog jawbone, and I told this little waitress about my jawbone being a transplant from a bulldog, and had her the feel of it, and I barked at her, and she screamed, and but before I told her that part, I said, feel right here, and I went, whoop, and she was so offended, she scooted over away from me, turned the other way. Her husband turned red in the face. I said, "Have I done something wrong?" She said, finally she said, "I hope you apologized to those people." I said, "Well, I baptized the manager in the name of Jesus and he got the Holy Ghost. And I baptized that waitress in the name of Jesus. She got the Holy Ghost." I said, "I did apologize, but I said, it was an act of God." She said, "God wouldn't do that." Whether we be beside ourselves, it's unto God. If I'm sober, it's for you. Glory! Things are not always as they appear. Glory to God. Same individual. I'm not picking on any individual, you know. I'm not going to tell anybody out there listening in who it was. Don't even remember the name myself. Tried to forget it as quick as I could. But came to our kids' praise club. We worked so hard to get, you know, and we've got a group of people who are doing exploits. And Liza, have you noticed how some of these children can get up here and just fluently talk without being nervous? Nothing phases them. They're able to just be themselves in any of our services and just talk and sing. You know where a lot of that's coming from? Kids Praise Club. Amen. And there's some adults out there today that'll never forget what they've learned in the Kids Praise Club. And, you know, as silly as it may seem sometimes for the puppets to get all their Bible stories mixed up and end up in the wrong lion's dens or fiery furnaces or whatever. Amen. There are some things. There have been adults that have come here and said, "I've gotten more understanding from the Bible from that kids' praise club than all the church services I've ever attended." And one person in her 80s told me, now that kid's praise club is in my level of understanding. Said, I can understand the Bible when I hear the kid's praise club better. But this particular visitor that came here, yeah, I don't think you should do it like that. And then after church, went from person to person, explaining her condemnation against us over that and how she differs from us. Well, she differs in a lot of ways, but she differs from us. All of a sudden, this person who told me when she first arrived that they didn't have a church, they didn't have a church home, all of a sudden this haughty spirit came on them before they left here, and we weren't like their church back home. Remember that testimony? I got a church back home that does this. And this going around from person to person trying to cause a wall. You know what? There's some things in the Bible about that. Things are not always as they appear. I don't care how holy a person may think they are. When they go from person to person and they start accusing the brethren and they start trying to bring contention and division to the body of Christ, God sees that as sin. And they'd be better off just kind of get behind it, beside themselves and just laugh and giggle with us and dance around a little bit and say, hey, this is fun. We're having a good time. And maybe put one of them little puppets on their own hand and go, hee, 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 hee. Do it for Jesus. I'm sure God's going to enjoy that a whole lot more than this old sourpuss way of looking at things. Hallelujah. So when we're sober, it's for you, Paul said. But if we get beside ourselves, it's unto God. You see it's kind of silly sometimes. Well, you ever seen anybody just get carried away laughing? Before you came into the church here, Brother Dane, there's a man sitting here, I'm not going to say who he was, but he's sitting on the front row here in this area over here. I wouldn't call his name or anything, but he has been known to laugh.
Yeah.
And you know what? After a while, it's like fire going through the congregation. I don't care how bad we all feel. When this thing gets started, it's contagious. When our church was young and we were just kind of just starting to move forward a little bit, we had a hilarious service. I mean, people were falling in the floor, speaking in tongues, and we were running, jumping, and just bucking like a bunch of wild horses, you know. We were just all over that building. The whole building was shaking, and Brother Bradley was going, ha, 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 and pretty soon the whole church was doing it. Wonder what would have happened if some of these sober-minded people had walked in. Our little congregation was invited once to go to a church that's not apostolic, not Pentecostal. They had heard about us, though. When people hear about us, they don't hear always the truth. They hear a little bit with a lot added. But the pastor of this assembly, this particular group, and I had become friends. He liked my music, and I was able to sit at his home when I would tune his pianos and sing, and he wanted to hear more, and it was touching his heart. And he was opening up a little bit and letting me know that he knew there was more for him than what he presently had. And just all of a sudden one day he said, why don't you bring your daughters and come over and sing for our people on a Sunday? And he said, in fact, just bring your whole congregation. We'll just turn the service over to you. Well, I thought that was really, really nice. So we accepted the invitation. And he had told some of the people that the people, and at that time we called our church the First Apostolic Church. And I'm sure some of them did a little research before we got there. What are those apostolics all about? And anyhow, when we arrived, I believe we took a saxophone and tambourine with us. I mean, you walk in most of our churches, our people that we usually associate with, walk in with a couple of musical instruments, nobody's going to say a word or think anything. But when we walked in with those two instruments, there was some kind of a quietness went across that congregation. And you could see, I stood and I watched the eyes as that tambourine passed by people. They were going, you know, they were watching that tambourine like it was a monster coming in to invade them. And then they looked at that saxophone like it may bite them, you know. Oh, like what are we going to do? No, nothing was said. It was just quiet. And there was this nervousness. It was so strong you could feel it. I mean, we were the ones of us that are still here that survived that. We were very, you remember it, don't you, Sister Lynn? Very knowledgeable of the fact that all of a sudden we were being really studied and noticed, and we were not what they were used to. So I whispered to some of them, I said, let's take it slow and easy. Let's don't exactly be ourselves at first here. Because we had just had some of these shouting, hallelujah, laughing services, you know. People receiving the Holy Ghost. So we kind of eased into their service there, and we sat down, and the minister got up and started his little program, what they were used to, and opened up from the program, going down the little outline, you know, everything just exactly like it's programmed to be. And then after a while, he said, all right, we're going to interrupt our program here for our guest, and we want our guest to take part in our service. And he introduced us in his nice, polite, dignified way and gave me a smile and told us to go ahead. Well, we slowly walked up to the front of the building. I remember the days of the piano recitals, how you're supposed to sit down just right at the piano. So I moved the bench and I scooted in, and I opened up the songbook, and I put my hands on the keys just right. And we started off with a slow song, and that seemed to ease the tension. It was probably faster and stronger than anything I'd ever heard in that building, but it was something slow and easy. We started easy for them. And another slow song. So far, no tambourine beatings. No saxophones playing. Everybody's getting a little bit more at ease. And then I gave them a testimony about my sister. I talked about my sister being healed, miraculously cured of polio. And it was deathly quiet. Most churches where I tell that story about my sister being healed, I hear some hallelujahs and praise the Lords and glory, thank you, Jesus, you know.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But things are not always as they appear. Although we didn't see hands being raised and waved in the air, and we didn't see people jumping up and going, woo! Because they were not accustomed to any of that kind of stuff. They were only accustomed to having a program and going through their religious custom, what they were used to every week. And that was it. And so we were singing this song. We were singing this song about the name of Jesus. Blessed be His holy name. And so I started talking about Brenda, how God healed her, and how the doctor was amazed, and how she stood up in the bed after they said that she would never walk again, and how she's been well ever since. And while I was telling the story, I was looking at the congregation, and I saw some people getting their handkerchiefs out. Sitting there quietly, not saying hallelujah, not saying amen, but going with those handkerchiefs, wiping those eyes, you know, taking their glasses off and wiping their eyes. And I noticed, I looked at some of them, they had tears just streaming down their whole cheek. Just tears just coming down their cheek. Sitting there quietly. But something was happening in the hearts. Hallelujah. We didn't go in there and shout and say, you people that better obey Acts 2:38 and change your religion or you're going to split hell wide open. But we ministered to them. We ministered to them. And after a while, after that heart had been touched, we sort of entered into a, if it's all right, we'd like to maybe sing something a little more upbeat. And we just kind of gently eased into it. And we started singing a fast song. And pretty soon, I looked back in the congregation as we were singing it, and there was a man clapping his hands down between his knees. He didn't want to be seen, but he wanted to clap his hands. And he would look to his right, he would look to his left, and he just kept clapping his hands down between his knees. Well, after he started, the person next to him started doing it too. And then they looked around, and the person next to them started doing it. Pretty soon, the whole congregation had their hands down on their laps going like this. Even the pastor had his hands between his knees, clapping them. We kept singing. Pretty soon, those hands got a little higher. Remember? And we kept saying, pretty soon they were all just having a good time with us. It's amazing what God can do when He works from the heart. Now, it would be considered amongst apostolic churches, the service we had that day in that place, would be considered to be one of our more dead services. It would be, you know, things were pretty quiet. There wasn't a lot of shouting and hallelujahs going on. It was more so just kind of quiet. But as we walked out the door after the service and people were shaking their hands, they were saying things like, this is the best service I've ever been in my life. Oh, how tremendous this was. I've never been so moved. Oh, it was so powerful here today. Because you see, God was working on the hearts. And when the minister saw the reaction of his congregation, he said, why don't you come back and next time, since we're acquainted, just take your liberty and have a good time when you get here. He realized something had been changed. And we did. We went back and they just turned the service and we were just apostolic that night. We had a time over there. And they've never invited us back since. But you know, several years have gone by. And I was down here at Kentucky Fried Chicken a few months ago. Just stopped in right before closing time. And on my way back out to the car, I heard my name being called. And there was a family sitting in the car there. And the lady looked over at me and she said, you probably don't remember us. We were just part of a congregation. But she said, we'll never forget those services. How special it was and how we were moved. That was years ago. Yes, I had forgotten these people, but they hadn't forgot what had happened in their hearts. Hallelujah. And she said, from that day that you people came to our church, we were never satisfied with the way things had been in the past. And we went searching for more. Amen. Now, they don't come to our church, but they went searching for more. And God has done miracles in their life. She told me, she testified to me about healings going on in their family.
Hallelujah!
And about prayer and how God made a difference in their family. And how God moved them forward and they had visited some church and they had experienced the blessings of being with people who were raising their hands and shouting, hallelujah. I don't know if they had received the Holy Ghost, but it's amazing what God can do from the heart. If we won't judge by the appearance. Hallelujah. Remember the gentleman came in here a little over a year ago. He just walked in and handed me $1,000. to help us out. And I couldn't place him. He'd been calling for 2 or 3 days wanting to talk to me. I didn't know what it was about. And then he just showed up. Amen. He said, I want to give this to you. It wasn't to be a show. It wasn't to make a scene. He told me, he said, my wife and I were praying and just felt like we needed to give this to the church here. And then he explained to me years ago, right after we just met him, he was introduced to us by a family, and we were having a baptism out in this particular place in a lake, and he was in that number of people wanting to be baptized that day, and I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and he said something about that has changed his life, and he said this $1,000 gift is just a little token of appreciation. He said, because I went from that baptism to giving my life to God. Now, he doesn't go to our church. He's been baptized in Jesus' name, but he attends another group that teaches him some things that are not true about God. But you know what? I'm not going to judge that man to hell because he don't go to our church. And they probably don't exactly do everything like we do it. But there's something still happening in the heart. Because God never forgets. God never forgets any change, any prayer, anything that's happening. And for somebody, I'm telling you, if they're able to depart with $1,000 just as an appreciation gift, a token of appreciation, somebody told me once, if you can get to the pocketbook, you can get to the heart. It's not all about money. But many times, things are being said that we don't... I mean, that gentleman that sat down here for a few minutes today, he said a lot in about 10 minutes' time. He said a lot. Hallelujah. He said a lot. If you could hear the words, you didn't even see him sitting there. He sat there and loved everything that was going on in this church for a while. That's right. Listen, Sister Jennifer sang, listen, Sister Goodday on the internet, and he was being touched by all of this. He said a lot. And he didn't get up and say, I want to thank the Lord that I came in here today and thank you people for praying for me. He didn't do any of that. He didn't say, hallelujah, glory to God. But he said probably more today toward God than he's probably ever said in his life. Just by simply choosing to not go out that door and to be seated and enjoy a moment with God's people. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There are a lot of untold ends of stories going on around us. And we're here to see the finished product.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We've had a lot of experience. We've met a lot of people. And we're all connected with some. And we've seen some come and go. And we've seen some who just visited. They're not all forever gone. Amen. They're not. And we can look around. We see our empty chairs and just the same group showing up time after time. But we're not just the same group. Somewhere along the way during the week, you're being noticed and observed, and you're being an effect on somebody's life just by simply hanging in here. I'm always being asked the question, you still have that church over there? I'm always glad to be able to say, oh yes, and things are going great. We're still here, and we're going to stay here. We love it here. Somebody, some time ago, was complaining about Norwich. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody that hates Norwich as far as... Nobody could be less impressed with this city than I am. And I'm not saying I hate Norwich, but I'm just saying I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed by the city government. I'm not impressed by the law enforcement. I'm not impressed by the taxes. I'm not impressed by the... I'm not impressed by the attitude of the general public out there. I'm not impressed with this city. Amen. But I met a gentleman some time ago who came to me, and he started telling me he was so down in the mouth about Norwich. I stood there and I defended this place to him. And I said words that I never would have dreamed that I would say about this city. I said, I love it here. You love Norwich? I said, I didn't say I love Norwich. I love it here. He said, what's the difference? Norwich is here. I said, the reason I love it here is because this is the armpit of civilization. And if you don't get nasty out there on the street, just come in here and our septic tank won't work sometimes and our sewage system backs up and all kinds of crazy. We've never been able to have a church hardly except over in the Grange Hall where some of the Grangers had to meet once in a while. They kept their things up so they wouldn't have problems. But anytime it's just a church and we get left alone, people abandon us and things just leak on us and back up on us everywhere we've ever been. It's the armpit of civilization, I'm telling you. And people come here to visit from other places because they see all these internet sites and they see all this flash and everybody looks so clean and polished and we look so professional and our testimonies are so great and we're so positive and they get on airplanes and they fly here and they do anything to get to be here. They want to move in with us. They want to be a part of this and they come. And all of a sudden they find it's just a small group of people with some chairs, wires and cameras and people lining up to take showers because one of the showers doesn't work. And a city out there where people are not too friendly. And everybody's busy and everybody's broke. And everybody's having a hard time making it and trying to pay the bills, trying to keep the church going. And after a little while, they don't like it here anymore. They don't like us anymore. They don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they leave here and they join up with other groups and say, and other groups that have talked bad about it say, okay, I've been there, yeah, it's not what it seems like, yeah. And so stories get told that are not true. But what they didn't see when they were here is what we still got. Hallelujah, it's wonderful. I love it here. I love it here. There's no place on the earth where you can go that's going to be perfect. Civilization itself is an armpit of civilization. But God is on the throne. Hallelujah. And those old rough sinners and those old nasty people, those bad attitudes and this crummy town with all of its wickedness around us is full of people that God cares about. And just being here in the midst of this is a great testimony. We're saying a lot just by existing and surviving. That church still down there? You still got that church?
Hallelujah.
Some of them have been saying for years, I'm going to start coming there pretty soon. And it's easy for us to say, you know, it's easy for us to think, well, you liar, you know, you're not going to do it. You know, you lie to us all the time, you know. Things are not always that. Those words, I'm going to come there someday, need to be special every time they're spoken. Anytime somebody says, I've been thinking about going to that church, don't take it lightly. If it takes 50 years to get one of them filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll be worth it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was talking a few weeks ago. I was talking to a church hopper. They're kind of like grasshoppers. Yeah, just wherever there's something going on, they hop into that. You know, if a church starts to grow, they hop there. If there's revival over here, they quit their church and go there. So I was talking to this well-known church hopper, who happened to be sitting in the pew in front of me in a church that had just split off from another place, and they were, you know, there was an adventure going on, so they decided they'd join themselves to this adventure. And I was not surprised to see them there because they're church hoppers.
Yeah.
And so they want to be part of the action, whatever it is, because it's like ground floor opportunity.
Oh.
Church is getting started, maybe. And I noticed all of a sudden, you know, this backslidden person that was a church hopper also, that had been not long ago arrested for shoplifting and going to jail and all this, all of a sudden was a devout, consecrated piano player they needed. And anyway, because of the fact that it was new and in the beginning, she was there ready to play the piano, and there she was. And this other church hopper sitting in front of me turned around and said, "Hi, Brother Wren. So how big is your church in Connecticut?" I was, because I know her past, I was really glad to make it sound very small. They'd be here on the next bus. If I had said we've got 300 people, and man, we're buying properties and we're building buildings and we're doing this, we're doing that. She and her husband would have all of a sudden been called of God to join this team and become Sunday school teachers for us or something. So how big is that church up there in Connecticut now? I said, very small. Oh, all these years and it's just still small? I said, yeah. I said, you know, and generally, a lot of times, I like to tell people we have about 40, 50 people sometimes. And we do sometimes. I mean, we have communion sometimes, too. It's been a while. And we have had as high as 85 or so. In fact, we've had 200 here a couple of times. And for some people, I like for them to hear, oh, yeah, we've had as high as 200 people crowd into our church. And, you know, at least, wow, wonderful things. And I didn't want to tell these people that. We're just real small. I said, we do good sometimes to have 25 people. Oh, Brother Wren, why don't you leave? I mean, you get 25 people just by going down the street here. No time. Pray for us. God bless you. And I walked away. This is one of the greatest churches I've ever been a part of in my life. Things are not always as they appear. This is one of the most powerful forces on the face of the earth right now. We're a voice for God in a troubled world. Let's praise Him again. Everybody, praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.